Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
I have the words of a song running through my head that I haven't sung in a long time, but I remember it from my younger days. And the chorus goes, "There is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told." I wonder how many of you have sung that particular hymn. Well, that really captures the essence of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. That tells us about the exuberant joy produced in the hearts of God's people, and the source of that joy, where it comes from, this joy unspeakable and full of glory. But before we can get into that, we need to wrap up a few more things on the preceding study, namely the one on suffering. And so I will bring that one to a close, and then we can get into the next study on the subject of joy. Two topics back to back, one on suffering, one on joy. Why God allows suffering, and what is the source of joy? And it's good to put those together, isn't it? When we suffer, we feel like all the joy has been crushed out of our souls. But it need not be that way, it ought not be that way, and we trust that God will teach us how to maintain joy even in the midst of suffering. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, January 24. Many thanks for the financial support that keeps us on this station. Well, let me read verses 6 and 7 again. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The tested faith will be found at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it will endure. It will persevere. And it will grow through the testings and the trials. So, to summarize this section on suffering, let me ask the question, why is there suffering? And the answer, in short, is because there is sin. If there were no sin, there would be no suffering. That is not to say that every instance of my suffering is because of a particular identifiable sin in my life. That's not the way it is. That's the way that some people envision it, but that's not the way it is. It's not that I'm suffering now in this way because of this sin, this transgression in my life that has brought this suffering. Now again, as I think I pointed out in the previous broadcast, sometimes that is the case. I do not want to remove entirely the idea of child discipline or chastisement from the subject of suffering. The Bible teaches us that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So we should always examine our heart. I can remember a long time ago now, when a particular trial came into my life, and when I mean a long time ago, I'm talking about decades ago, when a particular trial came into my life, and I remember wrestling with the question, "Lord, why have you brought this into my life?" I really could not come up with any obvious transgression. Not that I don't have plenty of transgressions, but nothing out of the ordinary. I don't know if that's the right way to put it either, but nothing new, nothing major, no new deviation, no no obvious reason why God brought that suffering into my life, as if to jerk me back on the path that I had strayed from. I couldn't come up with anything like that. I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with that question. Are you bringing this into my life to correct me, to chasten me, to restore me, to return me to a path of obedience from which I have strayed? And I just couldn't come up with anything like that. After a long period of self-examination, I did come to the conclusion that there was an area in my ministry that needed to be pursued, sort of an omission area that needed to no longer be an area of omission, but some great transgression? No. And yet that particular trial was used of God to deepen my faith and to advance my Christian maturity like nothing else I'd ever had in my life. When it was all over and done, I could look back and say, that was beneficial. That was good. That caused me to grow. That prepared me for more effective ministry. So don't think every time a trial is brought into your life that there is an identifiable sin. If you'll just get rid of this sin, acknowledge it, come on, admit it. Sometimes you'll hear preachers, maybe especially evangelists, talking that way. Admit it, acknowledge it. It's kind of like Job's counselors. It's got to be there. There's got to be a sin. You couldn't be suffering this way, Job, if it were not for sin in your life. So we don't know what it is, but it could be this or this or this or this. But whatever it is, Job, you know what it is. Confess it, forsake it, and all will be well. But that was wrong. That was entirely wrong. Go back and read the book of Job. God dealt very harshly with those counselors for that kind of erroneous theology and philosophy of life. Miserable counselors they were. So when I say that the reason for suffering is because there is sin, why is there suffering? Because there is sin. I'm not making this one-on-one equation of a particular sin with a particular suffering, but every suffering is a reminder that we live in a fallen world. And every type of suffering should be a reminder that sin is serious. Sin is no little matter. It has ruined the human race. It has ruined the universe. Ruined in the sense that it is entirely different from the way God created it and us, though God has the power to restore. But there has been a great destruction because of sin. And so there would be no suffering if there were no sin. When you are suffering, just think about how seriously God views sin and ask God to help you to view it the same way. So that's the first answer to the question, why is there suffering? Number one, because there is sin. Well, why is there suffering for the sinner, the one who is outside of Christ? And the answer to that is probably to show him his sin and his need and to point him to the only remedy in Christ. It's a mercy of God when he brings suffering into the life of a sinner to stop him in his path. When God just lets him continue to go without warning, without hindrance, just to continue to march on that wide, broad road of destruction until he comes to the precipice and tumbles off, well, that wouldn't be very merciful. So God puts trials along his path in order to cause him to stop and think. And if those trials will cause him to come to Christ, what a blessing! Thank God for those trials. I'm thinking of an instance like that rather recently in the history of our church. And I can't give too many details because it involves a real person. And some of you who are listening today would recognize it, but I can just say that there was a very significant trial that came into the life of a person who had shown no interest in salvation, in Christ, in church, or the Bible until that happened, and suddenly there was a very significant and profound interest. Now, just because that develops doesn't mean that it is a lasting interest. It takes some time to tell. We have to find out, is this genuine faith, persevering faith, or is it the faith of the shallow soil and the thorny soil, the stony soil? Only time will reveal that. But what a blessing to see a new interest in God and the Bible and church and the people of God that followed this trial. So why suffering? Number one, because there is sin. Why suffering for the sinner? Number two, to show him his sin and need and to point him to the only remedy in Christ. But number three, why is there suffering for the believer? And the answer, as we have seen, and this is summary, is number one, to test and purify his faith. Number two, to validate his faith's genuineness and its durability. Number three, to reveal its worth. And number four, to reward its beauty. And we've seen all those things previously, although we didn't state them in exactly that way. But that's it. Why does God bring suffering into the lives of believers? Number one, to test our faith and to purify our faith. That's very important. Number two, to validate the believer's faith, its genuineness and its durability. Number three, to reveal its worth. And number four, to reward its beauty. When Christ comes, he's going to reward his saints. For what? Well, we might say for our works. And that would be a correct answer. He's going to reward us for our works. But why are there God-honoring works in the lives of God's children? It's because of faith. Faith in Christ. Saving faith produces good works. Remember? Good works are not what save us, but saving faith always produces good works. And so when Christ rewards our works, he is also validating, honoring, and rewarding our faith, the faith which he gave us and sustained within us, but he now rewards it because of what it produced in our lives. And that is a commendation for our faith. And therefore, we need to view our trials in the light of God's purposes and embrace our trials as a necessary tool to purify our faith. And we need to maintain a living hope as we expectantly await the day of Christ's return and that divine commendation. That well done, thou good and faithful servant. That rewarding of our works, which is rewarding the faith that produced the works. And that is all a part of what God is doing in our lives. So keep that in mind, dear Christian friend. The next time you are beset by a trial, view it in the light of these truths. And that will make a great deal of difference in your ability to handle it correctly, and in a God-honoring way, in the way that is beneficial to your soul. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.